Hello and welcome to this exploring session looking at the play John the Evangelist, written sometime between 1520, 1550 when it was published. We don't really know precisely when. It is a really interesting play, if a very confusing one. It might be a case we should call this a fragments episode, because it feels like the text has been cut down. But we also play with other ideas in the session about what the dramaturgy of the play could be, or could be made to be. Basically, the play doesn't have a connected plot, per se. It's more a series of scenes, with random characters sort of wandering on, wandering off again, that orbit the preaching of John the Evangelist. So a more developed plot could have been cut, or this was a deliberate choice. That this is almost a sort of slice of life play, where the point is that a series of people interact with the preaching of John, taking it or leaving it as they choose, which would mean it's trying to be really very clever, but which, sadly, the writer possibly isn't quite up to doing. It's fair to say we didn't quite warm to this as much as we have other plays, and it didn't read well for us this first reading. We did find ourselves laughing occasionally at the play rather than with it. Listening back, I think we were unfair slightly. I think we didn't give it as fair a run as we could have done. Defenders of the play, please stand up now, get in touch. I perhaps feel overly bad about not enjoying the play, feeling as though we should champion every text that comes our way, but not everyone can be a winner. My hot take is that this could be staged in an open, almost promenade style, and could actually be made to work, but I think there's a lot of making to make it work. Anyway, you can go to the show notes to find there is an online edition of the text, which you can follow as you listen at your leisure. And here is the first stab at getting into the text. This was workshopped with our Beyond Shakespeare irregulars on a dull Saturday morning in June 2019. There are stumbles and errors, but that is par for the course. More fulsome audio versions of all these exploring session plays one day will be released. As we'll be recording a proper version of this anon, please share your thoughts or suggestions about where we go from here. Submit suggestions, clarifications, and passive-aggressive abuse either on our Patreon page by joining us or on Twitter at Beyond Shakes. The irregulars were Richard Fawcett, Maria Walker, and Mark Scanlon. And I'm, as per usual, your host, Robert Crichton. And this is John the Evangelist. Enjoy. Okay, interlude to John the Evangelist. It's mostly a series of two-handers, most of whom never speak to anyone else. So it doesn't really matter who plays what because of the nature of the doubling. Richard, if you could do John the Evangelist, it's a thankless task, but I'll get you to also read something fun later on. And then for the first scene coming up, if I will do Iristition, and Mark, if you want to do Eugenio, and we'll see where that takes us. I haven't reviewed this very much, and I do not know precisely how accurate this script is, because I only have one source based from it, so I haven't been able to do a compare and contrast. Okay, St. John the Evangelist, random speech time.
Domine ante te omne desiderium meum et a te gemitus meus non est absconditus. Sweetest life, sovereign, in this world with some, is to have meditation of our Lord Jesus, very contemplative God, worshipped thus, bethinking in the soul without any speech. God tendeth right more the prayer with the heart of us than the prayer of the mouth. The text doth teach in meditation whoso have for fence, the mouth cannot express the thoughts of the heart. That holiest fruition is of so high intelligence as it ravisheth the soul into a blessed desert. It feeleth no earthly thing unto the time it revert. Thus fared Magdalene when Martha complained, she heard her not, in God her heart was so expert. Nor the angel at the sepulchre loves so her constrained. The cause why I rehearse you, the holy meditation, for it is mine exercise expressed. Whoso will labour in this must see his habitation, be solitary in soul of great quietness. Therefore ever to the church I do me dress, rest, reverence, and worship therein should be, with crying on Christ and our sins confess, Beati qui habitant in domo tua, Domine. God, that'll have the groundlings going, won't it?
It doesn't start the play off with a bang, because I don't think, in any meaningful sense, that has anything to do with what's about to come.
In any meaningful sense, I'm not sure it has anything to do with anything.
Yes, but I think we'll just move on. I'm not going to go into too much detail. I think we should see what his function in the play is later on. I really don't know if this is really a play rather than just a series of random scenes. It's a very odd text. So, enter Eugenio and Iris Dishon.
We come, Dio Patri, granted by the Pope 1,400, and never a day less, that hath heard this noble sermon, and thereon doth hope, a puna et culpa here, I them release. Is it not pity such a pulpit man to lose? I pray you, sir, let us hear more of your Pope holiness, for me think I have heard you preach on this at Paul's cross.
Whom call you Pope holy?
Such a fool as thou art, that clappest ever in divinity.
All virtuous people to commend is my property.
Then is Caton false, and that he indicts, for he saith, necti colludis, necti culpaberis ipsi. Great laudations loveth these hypocrites, qui so colludit, etc. No more to you at this time, but understand you this Latin?
Yea, sir, I trow.
Responde, tunc domine, doctor, clericorum. But, sir, know you any justice of quorum?
Why so?
A fellow of mine was taken with a corcolorum for a couple of horses he stole in an evening.
What would ye have me do in that case?
Sarsum corda, for him to sing, ye should have known well why.
I cannot sing.
No, sir, ye should but make a spring under a perch, looking up toward the sky.
Without God be thy friend, that same death thou shalt die.
Marry, I beshrew his heart that so can prophesy.
What is thy name?
A reed.
Eugenio, I trow the same.
Ay, sir, the devil strike off thy head. Whoreson, who taught thee so right to read, I trow some evil spirit be within thee.
In the city of Jerusalem, that is so called, I fear thou wilt never come to that holy Sion, that with 12 precious stones is surely walled. Full straight is the way thither to God, and unto that castle entering is none, without thou acquaint thee with 2 porters before. Hope is the first, and faith the other one.
Lo, so ghostly he prateth evermore. Ye dare not cough, your conscience is so holy. But I pray you show me before, which is the way to yonder castle ye pray so greatly?
Over the mead of meekness mark thou the way, then to the path of patience shalt thou pass, into the land of largeness hold for the lay, and in the lane of business look thou not bash, then measure in a marsh a fair manner has. Rest there hardly and abide all night.
Nay, that I will not by this light. But what callest thou this way?
Via recta, leading to life, so David named it in his day.
Spes mea in via recta.
Yes, there's a reason why I was making other people do the Latin.
Passeth all men by this journey.
Nay, and the more pity, verily I say.
What be they that go that way most?
They that be inspired with the Holy Ghost as innocents and virgins.
Marry, I know none such in all this coast.
They that go thither must be gratia electi.
Why, is there no other way but this?
Yes, on the left side another there is that is called via obliqua et via circularis.
And whither draweth this?
Even right to death. Whoso walks that way, himself he slayeth.
Sir, who goeth that way so ill?
Oh, they that worketh the devil's will, as omnes iniquo in circuiti impli ambulantes.
Thou art a Lola, by my troth. I warrant, how many bypaths be in that way?
60 and odd, I say.
Then one cannot fail where he go by night or day. But may a man go to the stews that way, at his pleasure, if he list to play?
It brings men to the seat of rueful array. The Lady of Confusion lieth therein. That Babylon is called. She is the end of all sin.
Which way coasteth that country?
To an isle in the north, I say, ab Aquilone pandetur omne malum.
That is the first place that men should assay, whether it be hedged or walled.
With boughs and trees it is marvellously paled. There groweth the elders of envy, staked with pride full high, and the briars of backbiting with wrath, reaved about, full of slothy bushes and lecherous thorns dry, with gluttonous posts and covetous railed throughout, and at mischief's gate many doth in run.
And where do they all become?
Down to the dungeon where the devil dwelleth. Lucifer, that loathly lord, that is in bale blisses. There is woe upon woe, as Christ us telleth. All that may disease and nothing please, ever restless. There is frost, there is fire. Hope is lost, and her desire. There care hath no recover without pity. There is pain. To cry for mercy it is in vain, for grace is gone for ever. Fumis tormentorum sororum ascendit in secular seculorum. Lo, thus hath lost wedded confusion Lucifer's daughter damnation, in hell to have heritage. Septum dominium peccate est mors.
In faith, that is a knavish way to walk. Now a while of some mirth let us talk, for I forsake that passage.
Now farewell, sir, and have good day, for I must go another way. Forget not my reasons, sage.
What? Will ye go your way? Ye have done a fair journey today.
It is time for to be walking, for I am weary of your talking. Pause there, shall we?
Pilgrim's bloody progress.
Yeah, it has to be said that, I don't know if anyone else has zoned out, but I was reading it and I was zoning out. I mean, what the hell? What's that about?
I hate allegory. I loathe allegory with such a bloody passion.
Well, it's not even allegory. It's just bimbling at each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like two different conversations. They're in their own little...
Yeah, because, I mean, are they really arguing a point of theology, or are they just sort of... I mean, I'm not really seeing precisely who's arguing what point. It's very unclear what the hell is... being argued. I don't know what side I'm on. I know I go a bit hellfire. I thought at the beginning I was quite cynical, but I seem to have gone completely insane by the end of this.
Eugenio doesn't really offer very much.
No. Anyway, let's see where you go.
I'm quite struck by the exotic names, and I'm failing to see the point of them.
No, I have to say I have not cracked the puzzle of this one, and I suspect we may not. It's not one that leapt out at me initially ever. It's very short. St. John's about to make a reappearance when this scene technically ends, because we haven't technically ended this scene, and then we go into another scene, which I don't know if that goes anywhere either. So. John does enter the action a little later on, but he's very, very random. Richard, you will get something more interesting to do. He said more interesting to do. You'll get to be evil counsel later on. Okay, Eugenio, finish this scene off.
Right.
I've just exited.
Gosh.
Lo, sirs, he spake full holily, but yet I beshrew him for all his clergy. He may well be called witless Sir Will, for I trow his brain is steadfast
like
as a windmill.
Yeah, that's quite good. We like that. We found a line we like. Okay. Go from he may well.
He may well be called witless Sir Will, for I trow his brain is steadfast as a windmill, but now well remembered by books and Rome's.
Yes, and Rome's or something. And looks like... there maybe have been a quote there or something. There's a line missing, so it looks like you're about to quote something, and then we just go straight to the thing. And oddly enough, the quotations and the sections in Latin are, of course, my favourite part of this text.
I would have a plaster for all harms, some fair wench to lie in mine arms, that would avoid all strifes. It were to me administrat nos, et restaurat nos, also comfortable nos. Yea, and sometime I will take men's wives.
I think that's Latin again.
Comfortate nos. Yes. Dare you have another crack at that? If it were to me,
restaurate nos, also comfortate nos. Yea, and sometime I will take men's wives, for cuckold makers have merrier lives than they that do all the most the cost, as to wed at the church door and there to be sworn. Perhaps her husband should have an horn. Then may be cursed the time that ever he was born, for all the love is lost. Clerks say that of wedlock God that knot doth knit, and yet women do venture to break it. For though their soul should lie in hell pit, they will use that sorry work. And if they so die, Atropos cometh full suddenly, and all they beware full slyly. He leadeth them all down in the dark. The courtesy of England is oft to kiss, and of itself it is lechery where pleasure is. All young folk remember this, intentio judicat quamquam. So great delight thou mayest have therein, that afore God it is deadly sin. But farewell, yonder cometh Sir William of Trentrum.
And you don't know whether to say thank God or say oh fuck.
Yeah, and it's also yonder cometh Sir William of Trentrum. Who doesn't? You just don't sit. And in fact, enter St. John. So this is a very short text, so I do wonder, and it doesn't seem to, at the moment, make full sense. Definitely getting a sense that you're more of the libertine than I thought you were at the top of the... I thought it was the other way around. When I first started reading it, I was going to be the person who's moving in the general direction of sin. Mm. But then you sort of move in vaguely in the direction of sin, and then you sort of pull back again. And it's like there's no consistency as to what is going on with either of us, really.
Well,
so,
that's a fair summary.
Yeah, it's very odd. Anyway, maybe St. John is going to clarify matters with his long, random speech.
Well, okay. That Lord, which is principal, conserve and keep this congregation, and cover you with his mantle perpetual. After that ye do pass with death's visitation, this prince bring you to that holy nation, where love doth dwell with virginity. And to give you plain information, in that realm dwelleth the Holy Trinity. God. I am that John that presently doth appear, called the Grace of God by interpretation. And of my doctrine, if ye list to hear, much can I show you of Christ's incarnation, of his passion, for verily I was there.
I have to say, I did struggle not to laugh with some of my earlier bits. It's...
I was there, mate. I saw it at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Let's keep it together. This isn't supposed to be funny.
It's bloody hilarious.
Okay.
For verily, I was there. I was. I saw him hang on the cross on high, his mother and I stood there under, and I heard when he cried, Eli, Eli, and saw Lungis smite his heart asunder, his laws to the people will I... Who's Lungis?
Longinus, I assume.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. His laws to the people will I preach, and all that ever do follow me in peace... The kingdom of heaven their soul shall reach, there having joy that never shall cease. But now the true love that we should to God owe, men give it to riches, which is mutable. To riches, that is mutable. Full sore they will it repent, I trow, that ever they were of mind so unstable. If any man will have riches ghostly, I will hastily again be here, and thereof he shall have gladly. At all times I will him cheer. My coming hither was for your furtherance, and now I leave you in God's governance.
So he just sort of pops in, because it sounded at the beginning like they were listening to a sermon. First, it feels like there's something missing there. This feels just like bits of a play, not the play. It's unclear. Anyway, let's go forward, because we're halfway through. Almost.
Now, merry might you be. Who was that that called me so early today? One resided me with a bowl of water. Here was a shrewd matter, suddenly won to a fray. It was some knave, my brother. Beshrew him, and none other, for that array. I was fast asleep, till I felt the wet, full still I lay. He brake mine old custom, for I would have lain till noon, and then have risen to play. But now to the purpose, for by the faith that now goes, I love to go gay, and with other men's wives, that be wanton of lives, oft do I run away. And wheresoever I go, one good condition have I so, I use never truth to say. Also, I have a great disease, if you will me leave, even here, sirs, in the bottom of my sleeve.
So this is some little boy who's being naughty and someone's just thrown a bowl of water over him, presumably in a cowardly trick. And suddenly, at least, there's a logic now to the play, which is teaching good things to young who might be up to mischief. That feels like that might be a plot. 7 pages in, we might have found a plot, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see if this goes somewhere. I genuinely don't know where this is going.
By God, sir, and I do lay a plaster to your coat. I will heal it. I dare lay a groat.
Eugenio, from whence come you?
From thence that ye were spoke of right now. You shall have an office.
That's a clear answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is that? I pray you, tell me.
By my faith, you shall be hangman of Calais. Thereto you be appointed, verily.
Then the first man that shall be hanged shalt thou be, for I tell thee, I will begin with thee.
Nay, sir, but hark what I shall thee say. Here was one late this same day that dispraised riches worldly. He said he that doth forsake prosperity and take him to wilful poverty, he shall have joy eternally.
What was he?
A doctor, as seen me. He spake as holily as though God had been his cousin.
Yea, but was he not mired with hypocrisy?
No, man, he spake so ghostly. He had almost changed my mood. I had thought to give away my goods and then ask myself for charity.
Why? Wouldst thou have been so witty? Nay, thou art a fool, and thou wilt for any egging give away thine own good, and go thyself a begging, for so will not I do yet, trust me.
Sir, he promised most largely that I should enjoy live ever, where I shall die never. Thus also he said verily, that I should feel there no ill, and have all that I desire will, and see God in his majesty. Also, he promised me a greater hire, that I should have all that I would desire.
I read thee lay that thought away, for mayst thou not see all day that they that useth sport and play liveth at ease merrily? They have most heartiest rest, and fareth of the best, that thus spendeth their lives in jollity.
Well then, my wit I will renew, for I trow thou sayest full true. If I do it, and afterward rue it, as to give away my good, I trow I should it forthink. Without a cup then might I drink, for that purse that sewneth not trink, his master weareth a threadbare hood.
Yea, yea, man, that is true indeed, but let us go walk a space, for evil counsel hither will speed. That person, I trow, he be void of all grace.
Go we hence then in time. Hastily we will come again. For John will be here by prime. His sermon would I hear fain.
Okay. I think I've got a handle on what this play is. So, they're in a public space. St. John is doing some preaching. And various people are wandering in and interacting with that preaching in some kind of way. So it's a bit like Bartholomew Fair, but not as good and shorter. So you've just got that. Yeah, so there's all these various people just sauntering in and out. And so it's not really a play in which anything's happening. It's just a play where people are sort of vaguely commenting, there's a bloke over there doing some things. That's quite interesting, and some people are engaging with it in one way and some people are engaging it in another. So it's not like someone's trying to win a debate, which was where we were getting confused with our exchange. It was two people responding to the sermon that they'd just heard.
Going to an anthology called Mercifully Short Plays.
But I think that's what's going on, and I think that's, in a sense, either that is dramatically very clever... is a really interesting idea, or it's a play written by someone who doesn't know how to write a play and has seen some morality plays in the past and just put this thing together. You could go down that route because it feels like a school play written in, with some stuff happening rather than having a proper plot. I don't know if I'm being, you know, too fair on it or unfair.
But then you're coming at it from now, looking back, aren't you?
Well, we're also looking at it looking back in the sense of we've read a lot of other plays that do this kind of job. Mm. And this is a very weird... It's really not like many other plays that we've come across or we've done. And we've done quite a lot of them now. I mean, this genuinely, we're scratching our heads trying to figure out what this play is. That doesn't mean it to say that there weren't more like this and they're just lost to history, but it doesn't feel like anything else that we've done, really, so far.
A sort of series of crowd scenes.
Yeah.
A series of small crowd scenes.
Yeah. You know, and it you don't need more than three people to do it, in theory, because I don't think... the way this works, there's a lot, you know, anyone ever, more than three people ever encounter each other at any one time. So we're about to have another dialogue. We're going to have a long speech by Evil Council, but then it's a dialogue with Idleness. I'm just going to check. They never encounter anybody else. So I'm going to... I'll read Idleness because, yeah, you both get a crack back again. You're going to return later on. So... if you'll be evil.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I mean, the great thing about Pentameter and the great thing about Alexandrian is that they go somewhere.
Yeah.
This goes nowhere. It stops.
Yeah,
every
just sort of.
Lines.
Yeah, it just sort of. Yeah. Well, you never know. Maybe it'll pick up a gear with evil and idleness. You know, we know that evilly things tend to be a bit more fun. Enter evil counsel.
By your leave, let me come near. What doth all this company here? Whereafter is your gaping? By our lady and master, I have sought nigh and far. For sith I came from Rochester, I have spent all my winning. By our lady, I will no more go to Coventry, for their knaves set me on the pillory, and threw eggs at my head, so sore that my nose did bleed of white wine gallons 30. Sometime in London did I dwell. I was prentice with evil counsel, and so men calleth me. I hope again to go thither, if summer were come and fair weather, and live full merrily. I have sought England through and through, village, town, city, and borough, with many a thousand bequainted I am, as ill-tongued churls and many a proud gentleman that shrewdly roundeth many epistles. This is better, isn't it?
It is so much. But again, it's the evil people always are. And the other thing is he's engaging with the audience, and this is saying the vice always seems to do. The bad people immediately come on and go, hey, who's in the audience tonight? It's basically, he's doing the stand-up thing of just immediately getting the crowd on their side. Whereas the other people never do that. They either pontificate at you or they talk to each other. And they're always so much more fun. I love the idea that nose to bleed white gallons of white wine. It's the white wine that's interesting. But presumably there's a social comment on the drinking habits of a certain kind of person.
As ill-tongued churls and many a proud gentleman that truly roundeth many a pistle when they in young wives' ears doth whistle of matters pertaining to Venus acts. With fair flattering words and pretty knacks, both men and women they bring to lechery, through me evil counsel to live in advoutry. In Cornwall I have been, and in Kent, Westminster, St. Catherine's, and in Unthrift's Rent. There I rested very lately.
See someone entering from a distance.
Now fain would I have a master that would do by my counsel, for though he spend and be a waster, to get money I can teach him the craft well.
What art thou, tell me, that speaketh this?
Marry, sir, a man that would have a service. A great need have I thereto.
Why, what service canst thou do?
Both steal and lie, and on your errand go to fet another man's wife to your bed.
If I of such things may be spared, I am glad that we be met.
In England shall nothing me let. With you will I bide for ever. But, master, have ye any wife?
Yea, more than 25, by my life. But some other men keepeth them for me.
Marry, sir, no false. It costeth you the less money. But you have good cheer when you come.
Yea, at meat I am merry, and at bed if I list to play.
Then their husbands be out of the way, or else ye come not there.
Yes, yes, daily, and make good cheer, and not spied at all, I have such policy.
I am glad that ye be so witty. And, sir, if you will have a fresh, lusty trull, I will get her you, or a housewife that can spin a pound of wool.
Then will we drink wine at the full in one place, if thou canst help me.
I pray you tell me, what is she?
An artificer's wife, a pretty woman.
Sir, I will go to my brother Temptation, and then to wanton youth I will make a station. For between us three, of her your pleasure ye shall have hardily.
Shall I go with you also?
Yea, sir, and it please you so to do. How say you? Have not they merry lives that make kiss and bass other men's wives? Lo, youth is full of jollity. But when saw you your brother Sensuality?
Sir, I left him on the plain of Salisbury. He told me that he would lift some good fellow from his thrift, and as I trow somewhat he will get to make with the penny. Many one for their good do labour and sweat, but he doth not so, he getteth it lightly.
Sir, he did me a shrewd turn, as I you tell.
I pray thee show me how it befell.
The last day, sir, I wist the puttock that he were on his fist would have trod my hen, and up I caught a rottock and hit him on the buttock that there lay in a fen.
That feels kind of like it's suddenly gone into a song. It feels a bit like, or at least a sort of da-da-da-da, that kind of thing. It's showing off your vice and iniquity to each other, isn't it? So, my mate, he does this. Kind of back and forth. Puttock, ruttock, buttock. There's a whole series of things there, which... anyway, let us complete this little scenette. Whereby knowest thou that it was he?
For he had a bell about his queue, and thereby each him knew. I bid him hold in the wind, till at the last he had his mind. God give him an ill pew.
And what meat did thou give him? Say on, hardly.
Sir, a fair piece of bacon and a black bowl full of barley.
By Jesus, this is a gentle meat for a hawk. To keep birds, thou art very cunning. Thy thrift, I trow, is laid a sonning. But tell me now, where is thy wanning?
Sir, at the stews, beg your pardon, yeah. Sir, at the stews is my most abiding. Otherwise going and sometime riding, and if the ground be slippier and sliding, in faith I fall down modelling.
What some pleasure then there appears, beshrew your head between your ears.
Nay, sir, it shall be yours and theirs, for when a man hath enow, let him part with his neighbours.
It is thy destiny, I trow, for to be clad in all briars, and ride the horse with four ears.
Nay, sir, not afore you, for I love ill to waiter. A ride in a saddle, but ye shall ride in a halter.
In good faith, knave, thou shalt bear me a stripe.
And thou shalt have another, and I can hit thee aright.
Why smitest thou not? Come off!
Nay, I trow ye do but scoff, but I would not for £100 fight with thee.
Why so? Tell me.
For I never fought with man, but he died, and so should you and ye did my strokes abide.
Marry, and I had liever thou were tied. Thou art as manly as ill-cheeving. Thou were a good, bold fellow to go a-thieving.
Well, let us go to unthrifts a while hence, and let some other keep a residence, for I dare lay there on 40 pence. We shall have a sermon or night.
I trow, then, he will come hither, that laid first in principio together.
Go no, we, for we too will go thither, whereas we will make merry by this light. It's gone off the boil, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, went nowhere. Mm. Went nowhere fast. It went into wordplay. Mm. Oddly reminiscent of John Hayward, but nowhere near as good. That sort of, all that stuff about puttock ruttock and then conning, sonning, wanning, and it felt like it was trying to be clever, but there's got nowhere to go. It's just basically we're going to be evil and go off and be get drunk, I think, basically, is where it goes. Which is a shame. Anyway, the play now basically ends as two relatively good people, or not good, or Christian people, meet St. John. So St. John actually does talk to people, which is lovely. So we've got Actio, Eugenio enter.
They might not think so.
Yeah, and then St. John has a little chat with them and sermonises at them, as these people tend to do.
Ah, sir, I have been long away. I said I would see you by light of day.
There hath be a fair array, where we two have be. There was laying of the law, and all was not worth a new straw, so God help me.
Sir, I saw the wench that did your neck claw, that bare in her hand a gay gigaw. Methought it was like a paw of a whiting. She held me with a tale of tit-merry tally, till my thrift was gone as quit as dally. God wot, it is a nice thing.
Peace, man, you shall hear a sermon I fashion of the eagle that riseth full high. If he do hear thy exclamation, he will make thee to fly.
Not in a string, I trow. Peace, for he is come now.
Enter St. John.
O men unkind, wretched and mortal, hearken to this parable that I shall tell.
The hearing thereof give you I shall.
And I do by your counsel, if ye say well.
Now I begin, give good audience. Two men ascended once to a temple to pray. Oh God.
When it's like this, you know, now I begin. Sorry. Give good audience. Shush. Shush, this is serious now.
Yeah, priest and like, Levi went into a bar.
Yeah. Yes.
Right, oh God, it is the Pharisee and the publican.
Yeah.
Two men ascended once to a temple to pray, their conversation having great difference. It was the Pharisean and the publican, I say. Two examples by them perceive we may. The great pride of the Pharisee, other men's faults he dispraised, other men's faults he dispraised, and his own counsel hid under false hue. In the publican's prayers there was then a great excellence of meekness. He despised himself, a wretched man, thinking each creature exceeded him in goodness. His faults he did confess with great sorrow for his transgression, and in the Pharisee's prayer did express a full pride and adulation. He prayed not, but praised himself there, standing upright with a pert face. The mass beginneth with confiteor,
and endeth with Deo gratias, even the reverse he did in this case. There the mass endeth, he began proudly, making no confession of his trespass, but said, Deo gratias ago tibi, in that he thanked God he was not to blame, but in that he thanked him not with very meekness. Three species of sin he rehearsed by name, in which all sins be comprehended express, by raveners is understand covetize. God, what does that mean?
No idea.
No. In unrightful to say pride of him than. In advertry all lechery that men can rehearse. And thus he excused himself and slandered the publican. I pay my tithes, he said also. And so he did, but not of the best. In that came he was like to, for he tithed alway of the worst. Twice in the week, he said, he did fast. From meat and drink he did, but not from deadly sin. And that is the fast that pleaseth God best. But thereat hypocrites will not begin. Against God he sinned grievously, in that he justified himself so, and is even Christian slandering maliciously. To testimonium per hiberis de te ipso, et testimonium tuum non est verum, I say so. Wherefore God did him divide from the nine parts of angels the tenth. So there Lucifer is fallen for his pride. The gospel said, who doth hire him shall be ho. All they that praiseth themselves do sin, be you sure. And so, your cursed men, do your cure, for by God's judgment, if ye forsake not your sin, be you sure you go to hell. Wherefore, repent.
I cry God mercy for mine offence. My wicked life I do defy.
Also, I am sorry of my negligence. Your doctrine I will follow full meekly.
This sample God saith us to, that we should consider it wisely. Who deemeth himself good is far therefro, and he that thinketh himself sinfulest is blessed hardly. Think now that your purpose was set cursedly, in sin thus to lead lives vain, under colour of virtue deeming yourself good, you and all they that it doth sustain, be worldly the Pharisee. Men's laws are wood. Remember this for the reverence of him that died on rood, and to the laws of the church abide every man, and ye shall be partners of Christ's precious blood, and blessed of God, as was the publican. Thus, if ye will be steadfast and true, Jesus will then with his grace you renew. To that Lord's bliss ye shall come all a, qui vivit per infinita seculorum secula. Amen.
Finis. Yeah, I think our thesis that this is deliberately not a focused place seems to hold water. That we just have these characters interacting vaguely with his sermons. We got two who listen and definitely follow you. We got someone else who's vaguely godly, but he's probably following a different path, but is deeply unsure what that is. And we've got two wicked people who are just going to ignore it and move on. And in a sense, it's actually not too judgy as a play. It's sort of saying that some people are not going to follow this.
Mm.
In a sense, that's quite open and tolerant.
But it makes a bloody meal of saying it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's not... I don't think it's very well written. And there's a... You know, the idea is sound. Mm. And there are a few good lines. We found one or two fun lines. But it just leans towards bathos. I mean, I was struggling not to laugh when I was speaking at times. Some of my dialogue was just so not great. And, you know, ultimately, the moment anyone comes on and does a sermon, your interest immediately just goes...
because in a sense those early sermons, they weren't too long. And if they're part of an aesthetic whereby you've got characters coming in and doing something, then it becomes almost wallpaper. You know, it just becomes background music to set the scene. And that means that this final speech is the one that matters, which is unfortunate because it's the worst. I suspect. I might be unfair.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one is pretty. The first one is really... But the thing is, if you've got various people coming on and doing things, and maybe, you know, you can make that into a thing. But I suspect, even with a lot of work, and I, you know, can see in the future that I will sit down and do some work on this and with some actors and play around with individual scenes and get to the heart of the Latin, which means that that first scene will make more sense. It won't make any sense to the audience. It will make more sense to us because I wasn't even engaging with the question of what precisely we were saying to each other. Because I think there's an important doctrinal argument occurring between us, which we're not really in a position to go into. But you could sense a sigh of relief when the evil people came in, and then the disappointment as the evil people started getting boring. You know, it was a first page, you know, opening speech, really good. First few exchanges, really good. Then it's just the same gag again and again. I know someone who's evil, so do I. Maybe it's a bit more interesting because maybe some of that was done as a song or done in rhythm, and there's some physical business that made it more engaging. But the problem with all of these scenes is none of them go anywhere. And that, again, we're presuming that that is the point. Is this observational slice of life? Is this the first slice of life play? Discuss. I can't think of any other play that quite does this thing with the, where there is literally no plot. There's no plot at all. It doesn't matter if anyone's saved. It's not like, you know, everybody is saved or everyone's punished.
It's people, isn't it?
Yeah, just people wandering in and out.
Yeah, but if there's no plot, then you're on seriously dangerous ground if you can't write interestingly.
At least
most of the time.
Yeah.
I can see it working if you've got people just wandering by and listening to snippets and not having to hear the whole thing.
It's that kind of thing. I mean, if I was going to record it as an audio, I'd almost do it as a... Do it as an, you know, design it to say, walk along this route with your headphones on.
And the verse form.
Yeah.
It just, you know.
It's very flat. It's very short lines
even
a lot of the time.
Counsel, for he had a bell about his cue, and thereby each him knew, I bid him hold in the wind till at last he hear me.
Yeah, it's a bit insipid, isn't it? I mean, this is the bit where I nearly lost it, so erudition. Over the mead of meekness mark thou the way, then to the path of patience shalt thou pass, into the land of largeness. And I hit land of largeness, and I went, what the? And in the lane of business, and I'm going, oh, it's the business class, that's lovely.